Senior Focus. Welcome, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Currie. I'm your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. And with us in the studio, we have Trish Deans, the president of North Shore Grey Power. Welcome, Trish.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. It's great to be here.
And it's a busy and vital year ahead for Grey Power. There's a lot on the table, and I appreciate your time and coming in, Trish. And we'd like to kick off with hearing first about the next quarterly meeting that you're organising.
Yes, Anne-Marie. Our meeting is on the 28th of March, 1 o'clock to 3 p.m. Now, it's at the Windsor Park Baptist Church on East Coast Road in Wairangi Bay. It's set behind the shops, but really quite visible. Our guest speaker is Garth Barfitt. Now, you'll recognise the name Barfitt from Barfitt and Thompson. His family started the real estate agency with the other family. And he's an absolute delight. His experience in real estate, as well as his personal interests in running and marathons with his family, his son and his wife, it's quite a story. And he has wonderful tales to tell. I'm going to leave it there because you need to come and hear Garth. We also have John Gillen from the Kaipatiki Local Board. Now, John's a very experienced. He's younger than a lot of the councillors and local board members around, but he's very experienced, and his knowledge about how a local board works and what happens in his area is phenomenal. So I'm really happy to have these two speakers at this meeting.
Thank you for that update. Now, you've been very busy on a number of fronts, and I know with advocacy, there's housing, there's the pensioner units, and there are a number of issues to do with housing for seniors, and I talk about them from time to time, but it's really good to have somebody who's at the coalface doing the advocacy here in front of me. So I would like to start off by just talking about the controversial issues that have sparked a film where you were interviewed for this documentary about pensioner housing in Auckland. And the film, I understand, is going to screen as part of the Dock Edge Film Festival later in the year. So would you like to tell us about your experience in being involved in that documentary film?
Well, it's a young filmmaker, Tremaine Liasso. And he lived next door to a place called Marlow Mews in the Mount Albert, Mount Ruskell area. And Marlow Mews was set up to provide housing for pensioners in recent years. Now, the Roy Benderfield donated the land to Auckland Council in 1973 in memory of his late wife to be used for affordable pensioner housing. But somehow or other, the council has let the property go and is looking for a developer, and it's just been a mess in the last 2 years. And it's an example of senior housing disappearing. When an individual leaves land in perpetuity for pensioner housing, and then it's suddenly taken away from those pensioners who were in the units, It's incredible. It's unbelievable that our council could even think about doing such a thing to individuals. But it's not uncommon in a way. We also have the own your own home units where, again, since the 1970s, individuals have been able to buy a unit in a village-type situation. Council is a 20% shareholder and the unit holder is an 80% year holder. It's for, again, pensioner housing that for those who can't afford the retirement centres and what they charge and have to offer. So we need to really carefully look at this. Council needs to make up its mind, or actually take policy forward that protect these areas for senior housing, not just sell them off to pay for a debt. And it's very concerning. So I have been to council committees on these issues, and we keep pushing for some recognition of the need for senior housing. It's not going to go away, this problem. As 25% of our population in the next 20 years will be over 65. So we're going to have some problems. We can't sell off land needlessly. We need to hang on to it.
It is. That is, one in four Aucklanders will be over 65 in that decade. But the key thing to note is the number of seniors who don't own their own homes. When the pension was first mooted and set up, it was factored on the basis that, or calculated on the basis that, people would be owning their own homes. At least 80% would. And it's, of course, that's dropped quite significantly. So the figures under 70% owning their own homes, it's around the 60% mark now. It's been dropping steadily. And the younger seniors are often the ones renting. But I know people in their 80s who are renting, and something like 90 to 95% of their super is going on the rent. So they have to get a supplement from WINS. Mm-hmm. And that supplement, even in Auckland where it's geared to Auckland pricing and it's higher than elsewhere in the country, it's still only about 150.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are having to do everything on that 150. Food, healthcare, medicines, doctors, etc. Yes, some things are subsidised. Sometimes they can get a disability allowance to cover some health expenses, but that's less easy to obtain these days. And seriously, I really question how people are going to survive long term.
And it's in the, it's also and examples in the Hamaru Selwyn housing units as well, which are, have a council input in partnership with those two groups. So you may feel you're getting a lower rent, but you still have your costs, of living. And it's very tight. So it's an issue that our government has to look at, and our council has a has to lobby on behalf as well.
It's one of the difficulties of implementing policy too, because with the Age Friendly City program, which Auckland Council signed up to, and the Office of Seniors is promoting throughout the country, and there are 35 council projects around going age friendly. It's not just a small thing. But when you look at it, the 3 years that was spent traversing what it meant for Auckland, what it meant for communities, for seniors in Auckland, and the consultation was really covering over 3,000 seniors, and the feedback was resoundingly about housing, about transport, and about communications and going digital. So going digital makes sense. I mean, that, there are barriers, with 27% not even online at home. But the key thing was housing. It was number one. And with that policy, and yet there seems to be an amnesia at council between what's in the stack of policies and what is actually getting discussed and on the table.
Yes, yeah, it, what's being effectively done, yeah. And that sort of highlights the, well, council's on our side here. The government has withdrawn funding for the Hamaru and Selwyn area of housing. They've taken away the subsidy, which puts Hamaru and Selwyn in a difficult position, because they're no longer, that subsidy covered rejuvenating, renovating the small units. The rent paid for them doesn't cover that. So it's an advocacy that we're following up with council, and the council are really good about this. They are pressing government to return the subsidy.
Yes, I think it's fair that there are, it's fair to say there are some moves on the part of council to listen and to be receptive. But it does seem to me that going back to the situation of the Marlowe Muse, there is a, with that land, there is a difficulty where property has been designated for a purpose or land designated for a purpose and then it is ignored.
And maybe really the CCOs, in this particular case, Padoku, Eke Panuku, have to kind of stand up and say, well, the policy actually says, but we're doing something else. And it's not matching.
That's right. It's definitely not matching. And there is, as I say, an amnesia. The left hand and the right hand don't know what each other's up to. And really the only way that forward is for groups like Grey Power and seniors as a whole to letter write to their councillors, to speak to people, and particularly over feedback when there's this budget time, like the annual plan consultation, any opportunity you can get to raise the issues, well, fit them in. It is important.
It's very important. Although 60% of New Zealanders, whether you're a homeowner or not, rely on the superannuation to cover their costs. So even if you're in your own home, there's a real issue of covering your rates and meeting the living costs that you face daily. Mm. So it's a difficult issue out there. And we do our best to raise that with the various bodies, including the Minister for Seniors, so that we're not forgotten. And that amnesia that you talk about is really captures that what's happening.
Mm. I think that it's fair to say that the age-friendly movement around the world was set up for the simple reason that seniors were feeling forgotten, invisible, not heard, and not focused on in any clear way. So when the pie got divided up, youth were having an increasing amount of funding for all sorts of reasons, and it's fair that they do get some funding. I mean, I'm not saying youth don't deserve any funding. What I'm saying is that over 30 years, the youth sector has grown in significance and clout in its advocacy because there are degrees that can be awarded to people who've studied youth development. There's all sorts of scholarships available for people who want to create new initiatives, or there's funding for projects or programs. And this is presumably because they're thinking it does cut back on prison costs and so on, where people run amok and it costs $100,000 a year to keep somebody in jail. It's far cheaper to run programs to keep people out of jail.
Well, you'd like to think so, yes.
That sort of is counterbalanced by the idea that older people can be conveniently forgotten because they're no trouble. They're not actually creating trouble, and therefore they don't have to be funded. And I think some people do have that notion. And that further to that, many politicians believe that, and I know politicians have told me this, that in the House there is a widespread view that the retirement villages will take care of whatever needs seniors have.
That's certainly the case. They're relying on that model for New Zealanders, but there are so many who can't enter into that agreement with a retirement centre. Now, I'll give you an example of our Takapuna Library. Currently, the local board is considering a refurbishment of the library, and it's going to sell a couple of buildings off in order to achieve that refurbishment. Now, I've been on the inside, lobbying for seniors to have a room, because currently they do have a room in the current arrangement with a community building. It was very evident right at the start when the architect said, well, we could give you some chairs in a corner over there. Really? He said it. To which I looked daggers. Our elderly community had donated in the 1970s about $24,000 to ensure they had a room in the current set of facilities. That $24,000 now equates to about $400,000. The local board and architects were quite readily, happily accepting that seniors could have a few chairs. Well, no, we didn't think that was good enough. And so we've lobbied and with the architects and the board, and I'm hoping they're going to announce we have a room for 60 people at our, for us to use at various times. We'll share it, of course, but it was just such a jolt to me to think they thought of seniors having a few chairs and some magazines. What does that tell you?
Yes, heaps. It's something that should not be let lie. We should make sure this story gets a much wider hearing.
Yes.
Hearing.
It will do. Now, that proposal for the Takapuna Library is coming out shortly in terms of a Have Your Say event. There'll be at least two choices, whether you, as a resident and ratepayer, wish to have just the library refurbished, or whether you wish to add a very small upper story at a very costly sum. So you can see my point of view already. Grey Power would like to see the library refurbished, absolutely no difficulty, but for to keep the community services building next door to it. You're looking at several community groups, including Plunkett, including MS, multiple sclerosis, including a budgeting service, including the CAB. These guys need to be central in our local Takapuna area for easy access, and they need reasonable room sizes. So the new proposal hopes to squeeze them in to a much smaller space. Grey Power is asking to keep the community services building next door. We can't think that we can shrink services into smaller rooms. We're just going to end up with greater problems. So I'm hoping the council will listen, our local board will listen, and include the third option where we keep the community services building for all of those services, not just for seniors, they're for mums and those needing budgeting services as well. So it's quite phenomenal that you would think of shrinking services at this time.
Yeah, there's particularly when Takapuna is going to be a metropolitan centre and it's going to grow so much. And so many people are going to be in high rises and in apartments, so they're going to need space to come out to meet each other.
Exactly.
And that having bumping spaces, having room to get to know your neighbours.
Well, we also know that
important
with our seniors, one of the difficulties for seniors is isolation. When you're living as a single individual, whether it's in a unit or wherever you're living, you need community contact. You need to be part of something. And so many of our seniors are actually the volunteers in so many ways. They're important to our community.
Yes, they are the people who keep things functioning.
And that's me too. I'm one of those seniors.
Yes. Yes, and I played a similar role as a past president for a number of years. And so I know the workload mushrooms. It's very important to consider what is often the hidden issue for housing for seniors, and that's the lack of accessibility. Because as people age, they do have some reduced mobility issues.
Absolutely.
Some do, and some have the need to have assistance, like railings, like ramps, like wider corridor space. And our earlier building code was not at all accessible in New Zealand. So our current housing accessibility is a very big issue.
It is. If Kaiangora can't put lifts in for those... they're often building three or four story buildings. They need lifts, and that's the first thing that goes when you're building a cheaper building.
Yes, and there's also one or two examples of purpose-built housing for seniors that are really fantastic, mm-hmm. and Abbeyfield is one because they prioritise accessibility. But another one is the Wiltshire Village out in Henderson. Mm-hmm. And that was a council coordinated affair. And the architects did a splendid job because there are curved corridors that suit wheelchair access. There's a lot of things that you can praise about the accessibility. But the one thing that they didn't really work on was the heat, because a number of new buildings are overheating.
Yes, absolutely. The ventilation becomes an issue. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And they have, in fact, got to have local residents in the building talking to each other from one side to the other so they can open windows on both sides to try and keep the airflow going and reduce the heat, because it's so expensive to run fans.
Oh, it's, well, the cost of heating and or providing any form of ventilation is just part of the deal, you know. You can't do without.
Mm. But it just means that we've got to keep educating people about seniors' needs, that the need to bring the issues out. People often just don't think past their own experience.
Absolutely. And in doing so, by bringing out the issues, you're actually helping others as well, you know, in the design of buildings. I was speaking to a select committee just the other day for Parliament on the RMA. Now, my issue was urban design under the RMA. And so far, what we've done to our community is give them leaky buildings and then buildings with concrete and steel issues. Now we have ventilation issues. When are we going to get this right for everyone?
And I often refer to the Canadian example, where 100% of the homes are accessible. This is private as well as public. And that is a requirement of their building code.
Uh-huh.
So we have a long way to go.
We do, and I think we're capable of doing better. And I hope the Select Committee understood my point. We can do better.
Mm, indeed. And that's it. We just need to keep cranking up the volume and keeping out the messaging and keeping the messaging simple and straightforward.
And I really become enthusiastic when I get various phone calls from our membership about the issues that they're facing. So it's lovely to hear from people, because sometimes a small voice adds to the bigger group, and that's when things change.
And stories are always very important. My experience with the Select Committee was that stories were things that really had the politicians sitting up. And yes, it's good to have your facts in a row and be able to present the statistical data, but to have real live stories is just nothing like it.
Indeed. Well, they were listening and they had a very busy job and they were listening to many people, but we don't know what the results will be.
Mm. So that's why we have you in, is to keep us posted on what is coming down the pipeline, what you're working on and what sort of outcomes you're getting. So it's very good to have had you in today.
It's an absolute pleasure, Anne-Marie. And I hope that everyone out there over 65 does actually think about the issues and doesn't feel afraid to talk about them.
And I think it's important. This is the time of the year when groups are looking to get new members. I think it's important for people to actually make an effort to connect with at least one group of seniors in their community.
Absolutely, yes. It's so important. It just adds to the quality of your life, the purpose of going out and meeting others. It's indescribably good for everyone.
Yes. Well, loneliness is something that can creep up on you, especially in the older years where your friends die off. And
your kids are overseas, of those things.
And even your grandchildren may move away, and you can get a series of things happening. So the loneliness can be quite creeping up quickly. And there's always that built-in support when you belong to groups. I notice that in getting on outings and going places where perhaps it's just a bit too far for you to consider driving yourself, but the group's going by bus and they're all meeting together, and you end up having that social time on the bus.
Indeed.
So there's plenty out there. I think just in some parts of Auckland, they're extremely well catered for in terms of groups. I know in Whangaparawa, there someone counted 28 seniors groups available.
And usually found, the information's found from usually from your community house as well?
Yes, or CAB mm-hmm. office or library.
Uh-huh.
So thank you, Trish, and we'll look forward to having you back in a few months' time.
Thank you very much, Anne-Marie.
Thanks to our audience for listening today. So we will catch up with you next week.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6 or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus, and do note Senior Focus is one word. We'll be right back.